We are live.
So this is a bonus episode. I'm gonna move closer to my mic. I've realized that I'm very quiet. I'm gonna hold my mic. So this is a bonus episode for funsies. I would say that, like, oh, this is only for our viewers on Patreon, and you have to pay us $2, but we don't have a Patreon, so you can actually just, Venmo us $2 to listen to this. My Venmo, I think it's just Siri Wilder. So if you're listening to this, just Venmo me $2.
So
we should start an OnlyFans, but only for, like, bonus podcast content.
But then we'd have to film ourselves, and I'm never in a state to be filmed.
You don't have to. It's just, like, I feel like Patreon isn't this podcast vibe.
No. I don't know.
Even though we're educational.
Is OnlyFans educational?
No, Patreon.
Oh, wait.
I mean, OnlyFans is pretty educational.
It's a certain type of education. I really need the $2, though, because my husband and I are about to buy in-unit.
Because you're a grad student.
We're about to buy an in-unit washer-dryer, because we actually did the calculations, and we will break even in, like, 6 months.
That's amazing. Yeah. And it's really funny that you ran the numbers on that.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've debated about it for 2 years, and just thinking about how long ago we could have broken even was really depressing. So yeah, we're going to resume our regularly scheduled programming later this week, but,
Well, not our regularly scheduled, really, because it's our new season.
Our new season. Oh my gosh. So
we're going over TV shows.
I'm so excited. We should change our intro a little bit.
Season. Yeah. I've been thinking about that. I might change our intro theme.
Ooh.
From being jazzy and sophisticated to be more in, like, a boppy sort of sitcom-y.
Oh my gosh. We need to take promo photos. And I'll just have my husband Photoshop them so it looks like we're in the same room. It's going to be great. It's going
to
be really
good. This is an important photo shoot. Are you telling me you wouldn't fly to Seattle? Really?
Well, I mean, I guess we could take them in November when I'm up for Thanksgiving.
To promote the pod. Oh, yay.
Yeah. We'll take our promo photos for season 2. We've made it.
Perfect.
I wonder how many podcasts make it to season 2.
I guess it depends on how long the season is. We really strategically made our seasons pretty short.
Oh, by the way, my Venmo is Siri-Wilder. $2.
Yeah, we're serious about the $2.
I'm not kidding around. I really need an in-ear.
That wasn't a joke. Give me your lunch money.
It's not a bully. I'm providing them a service. They get to hear my voice. Yeah, so we're moving on to
that Dr. Phil quote. You know what? I need a soundboard for this.
A soundboard?
I'm going to get a soundboard.
What's
for
a
season
soundboard?
2. I'm going to press a button. And it's going to say something.
Oh, my God.
And one of the buttons I'm going to have is that Dr. Phil quote where he says, "You're ugly. You're stupid. I want to kill you. Give me $200.
When did Dr. Phil say that?
He was quoting something, but I don't care. Dr. Phil said it, and that's enough for me to soundbite it.
We need to get Dr. Phil on the podcast because,
not a friend of the podcast. Veto.
We don't only have to have friends on here. I'm not my friend. I actually really don't like myself.
We bring Dr. Phil on and we're just really mean to him.
Listen, okay? I just feel like he'd be a very valuable guest. It would be very interesting talking to him.
We gotta be able to fit a lot in that dome.
So this is the transition episode. And it's transitioning from season 1 to season 2. Because big changes are hard for everyone. And we're going to watch an episode of Friends. I've never watched an episode of Friends, but Xochi, have you watched all of them?
I have seen the entire series. I have also, this is an iconic TV show, and I love TV. So I have seen every single episode multiple times, even though I don't really... I don't think I would say I love the series. I have also read numerous articles. I've listened to many podcasts. I've watched behind the scenes. I watched the reunion. I don't like Friends. I don't know why I do all this stuff. It's just like a really important TV show to know about if you're going to get into like a really in-depth conversation about TV, because it changed a lot for the sitcom game.
Like, what were its most notable contributions to the field?
So, I would say, it's hard to say. Most of the sitcom sort of cliches and tropes that you think of are from, like, this era of TV. Like, Friends, Seinfeld, Living Single. All these shows were putting out these things that at the time were brand new ideas. I'm trying to think of a specific one. I mean, the Will They, Won't They on and off again, which is so huge now. I mean, Cheers did it with Sam and Diane, and then Friends did it with Ross and Rachel. This couple, like, people were obsessed with them. They're still obsessed with them. Like, so we'll talk about this on the podcast when we talk about Friends, but people wanted Jennifer Aniston and David Schwimmer to get together so bad that when they did the reunion special last year, 17 years after the show ended, and like these people haven't even like seen each other at all or talked very regularly, rumors started that they were dating somehow.
Oh my God.
For some reason.
That's pretty powerful.
Oh, and Friend Zone, that was from Friends.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That is so weird. That's such like a... I don't think I ever thought about where it came from, but like, it's so...
100% iconic. Friends.
Like, everyone knows what it means to be friend-zoned.
Yeah, absolutely. And it happened because it's what Rachel supposedly did to Ross.
That is so funny.
Is that actually what happened? No. Are some characters on the show just stupid?
Well, I don't like the term friend zone anyway. I think it's mostly used like friend to like when they use it, it's usually men talking about how a woman friend zoned a man, and it's really usually it's like it's not that she like friend zone implies that you refuse to consider them as a romantic partner, I think, and you instead relegate them to the role of friend. And I just don't. I think a lot of times women just want to be friends. Like, it's not a downgrade to say, I want to be your friend.
Yep. I don't think this is, like, a show that you're going to like. I don't really like it. It's not that funny, and it didn't age well.
You're setting, like, I feel very confident now.
No, you know, I say these things about these huge shows that go on for so many seasons and have, like, millions and millions and millions of viewers, and the actors on them are the highest paid, most famous actors in the industry during this time that the show is on. And every single time after the show ends, people look back at it and they're like, that was so weird that that was a cultural phenomenon, it's not even that good. Like, the Big Bang Theories, the Two and a Half Men's, the How I Met Your Mother's, and then... you know, you realize that if something is so broadly appealing to every single person in a country as big as ours, it's probably not the best. It's, you know, easy to watch TV, you know?
Well, okay, and this is kind of like, I guess, a really broad thing to say, but also I think that TV is continually getting better. Like, I don't think... It's kind of like, you know, when we first started writing books, and they just weren't that good, because nobody had written books before. I think it's the same with TV. Like, when TV first started, it just wasn't that good, because, like, no one had ever done it before. And now that we have, like, this whole history of TV, it's like, oh, no, actually, we know, like, how to make good TV.
Yeah, and we kept getting stuck in these patterns. And then a new pattern would start, but then we would get stuck in that pattern. You know, we went through the family sitcoms, then the workplace sitcoms, then the friend sitcoms, then back to the family sitcoms, then back to the work sitcoms, and now we can kind of see more adventurousness, more braveness. People are being better about being creative. and understanding that there isn't, like, a right or wrong way to do TV, and they're taking advantage of how flexible a medium it can be.
Yeah. That is very true. And I think...
Also, I'm gonna say it. We're in the golden age of adult cartoons.
Oh my god, totally. Yeah. And I don't even like cartoons, and I still watch adult cartoons.
Yeah, I mean, before, what did we have? We had Simpsons. That was it. For like a decade. Then we had Simpsons and Family Guy. And I don't even like either of those shows, and that was all we had.
Yeah.
Now we have a bunch.
No, and it's so funny, because like, I was just, the other day, like, I was on Hulu, and I was like, oh, I want to find like a new TV show to watch, because I'm pretty sure I watched everything on Hulu. And there was like a whole category of adult cartoons, and I was like literally dozens of shows. I'm just looking them up now. Oh, but everything's Halloween on Hulu now. It changed.
Of course. Dude, I love Hulu, and I love Hulu.
Adult animation.
Hulu's the best.
This is, it's not sponsored. And like, so much of it is good, like Bob's Burgers, The Great North, American Dad. Solar Opposites was so good. But yeah, it's like literally dozens of shows.
Yeah, Rick and Morty was pretty good. I didn't get super into that show. I dropped off sort of like in the middle of, I want to say it's like season 3, but the first 2 seasons of that show, I think, were like so revolutionary.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it let people know that they could be wacky. Like, you can be exactly. Wacky not just on Adult Swim now. Now, like, now you can be wacky on Fox. Crazy.
Well, I think Rick and Morty was Adult Swim.
Originally.
Was it on Fox?
Oh, did they, are they now on?
I don't know about Rick and Morty. I don't know what platform they're on. I know that Solar Opposites, which is very Rick and Morty, is a Hulu original.
Yeah.
And that it's FX very wacky, very like...
a lot of like...
Yeah.
Yeah. That show was crazy.
But I know Fox has a lot of adult animation. Is Fox tied at all to Fox News?
That is Fox. It's all Fox.
Really?
Yep.
How can people who are on Fox News be okay with being on a network that also produces The Great North and Bob's Burgers?
Fox News is fiction. They've actually testified in... No, they have testified in court twice now, I think, for 2 separate reporters. And they have said that any reasonable viewer could see that this is fictitious and... basically, like, parody.
Oh my god, stop. So we're going to alienate some of our viewers.
In court. Talk to their lawyers. That was their argument. It's not me. It's Tucker Carlson.
Oh my god.
Alright, so the episode that we have decided to watch. I thought about having Siri watch the pilot, but I've seen the pilot of Friends maybe... 50 times. So instead, we're going to be watching season 3, episode 16, the one the morning after part 2.
Oh my god, that's the title? The one the morning?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, they get lazy sometimes.
They could have just said the one with the morning, or the one morning.
Well, it's after. The one the morning after what happened. The one the morning after their break. So, just to give you a little bit of context, Ross and Rachel have been dating for a while. They love each other. Rachel's been really busy at work because she finally got a job within the fashion industry, which is something that she's been trying to break into for a while. It's very competitive, and she came in with 0 experience in the workforce. And so... she's been, like, putting her all into it, which means that she's been missing some dates, not really been very present at this point in their relationship.
How long have they been together?
A year.
Okay.
So, at this point, so on the day of their 1-year anniversary, they have this, like, anniversary date planned, and Ross is, like, there with the anniversary date all set up. And she calls him from work to cancel and says that she can't make it. And he's, like, really disappointed and upset, but he's like, all right. And then he packs up the dinner and takes it to her work. to surprise her. And she's, like, super overwhelmed with this crisis that's going on, and she gets, like, really upset because she's like, dude, I told you that I couldn't have dinner, and I'm sorry that that disappointed you, but, like, this was not the move.
Yeah.
And so he gets all upset and pissed off and leaves. And so then they later meet up to talk about what happened, and then they both realize that they expect the other one to apologize. Mm-hmm. And so it turns into this huge fight, and then finally Rachel's like, I'm so overwhelmed right now with this and work and everything that's happening in my life. I think I just need a break from this. And he's like, okay, for sure. We don't have to talk about this right now. Do you want to, like, go get some food? And she's like, no, like, a break from being in a relationship with you. And so he gets super upset and he leaves, and he goes over to his pal's house, and they all start talking about it and what happened because he's really upset. And then they invite him to go out with them, I think. And while they're out, he runs into this girl that they know, Chloe. And so they all start hanging out together, and then she and Ross break off. And then Ross, who right now thinks that he and Rachel are broken up, he and Chloe sleep together.
That is so tough because it's like, I think it's interesting because, like, if you think about, like, when you're married, right, and you're taking a break, right, you're separated, like, that doesn't mean like you can date anyone else, right? Because if you're married, even if you're separated, you're still considered legally bound, and so any extramarital affairs would be considered adultery.
Yeah,
but it's like when you're dating, it's such a more loosely, like, there's less boundaries automatically set or, like, inherently set.
It's true, and this is actually something that I've thought about a lot because I've seen this show so often, and this is, like, a huge point in this show. Like, this is something that everyone still talks about and argues about, you know, 2 decades after the show has aired. So, the conclusion that I've come to is that this is just something that, because as far as I've seen, the arguments are split, like, 50-50 on this, whether it was, like, the worst thing he ever could have done, or he thought they were broken up and he feels really bad about it. And I think it's just one of those things where it's, like, some people don't see, like, approaching or interacting with other people once they're outside of a relationship as, like, wrong, and that can be, like, the second they get out of that relationship. And for some other people, it's just, like, the factory point for them is that the relationship has ended, and so now anything is okay. Mm-hmm. And for some people, it's, like, that amount of time that you spend before you start moving on and interacting with other people is directly indicative of how committed you were to that relationship you just got out of.
I mean, it kind of makes sense, right? Because, like, you think about it, like you kind of, like, the degree or the time that it takes you to move on, in terms of, like, how much time it takes you before you move on from a relationship, it does seem like it's kind of, like, correlated with the length of the relationship. So, like, I would expect someone to move on fairly fast from, like, a short dating relationship. But if you think about, like, a marriage, right, like, you're probably thinking, like, oh, it'll take them a little bit before they can move on, especially if it's a marriage that's lasted, like, 20 years. Like, people don't usually just date, like, jump back in. And then if you think about, like, people who are widowed, it's definitely frowned upon for, like, people whose spouses have died to immediately jump back in to the dating world.
Because that is so different, though.
But, like, what's wrong with them wanting companionship? Like, I mean, if you think about it, like, no, yes, it's different because they're grieving, but also, like...
Actually, I totally, that came across wrong. I was not at all saying that...
That they shouldn't jump back. No, I know. It's a different situation, it is.
I would not judge a widowed partner for jumping back into the dating pool in whatever amount of time they see fit, whether that be a week
or 8 years. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people where I'm like, the amount of time that you take to move on is indicative directly of how invested you were in the relationship. That's where I am on the side of, like, dating, where I was like, all right, how sad are you really that it's over if you're just good now?
But
to, you know.
What if it's a relationship that kind of both people have known has been over for a while, but they don't officially, like, put an end to it for a really long time? So they both kind of accepted that it's over, gone through, like, whatever reckoning they needed, and then the minute they broke up, it's like, oh, I'm actually finally, like, I'm done. I've made my peace with this a long time ago.
But I think that so easily slips into, like, the emotional infidelity era, where it's like, I feel like a lot of times that's where when people start feeling themselves slipping out of the relationship, they sort of assume that their partner, who they're usually so in sync with, is feeling the same way. Mm-hmm. And so they start, you know, like, inching themselves out of the relationship, but not giving any overt signals that that's what they're doing. And then they move on right after the relationship, and that's where I step in to judge them and the entire situation, even though no one asked me, and be like, it seems like they were pretty, you know, what's the word for this? They're pretty chill with that whole decision of ending a partnership. So you have to wonder, like, how long have they been chill with that decision?
Yeah.
If someone is working through both of your breakup without letting you know, it's like, what are you even doing?
Wait, this reminds me. I saw this TikTok the other day on my, like, For You page. And it was this woman, and she was just talking about her husband and how they separated. And then he has since moved in with his girlfriend. And it was, like, she disagreed with it because she was, like, no, separation means that we're still trying to work on it. And then everyone in the comments was, like, kind of agreeing with her, like, no, a separation means that you're working on it. But I don't know if a separation necessarily means that you're working on it. I think sometimes a separation means, like, let's figure out the best way to handle this, and sometimes the best way to handle it is with regards to, like, starting the divorce process, or...
Yeah. That's what I was gonna say. I see a separation as, like, a pre-divorce.
Unless you have specifically said, and she didn't mention this, like, let's separate, let's have some time apart, and, like, for a defined period of time, like, while we work on ourselves and then come back together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we're not going to date anyone else, we're just going to work on ourselves for a little bit and then come back together. Mm-hmm. Like, that's sometimes how separations go, but if you're not defining, if you're just saying, okay, well, let's move out, like, I feel like then what's, like, there's no constructive, there's nothing going on, right? It's just like, okay, bye.
Yeah. And I feel like in that Reddit episode we did, there were a few posts that I saw that were kind of like along the lines of, you know, he said that he wants to, that he, like, can't be in a relationship right now. So even though, like, he loves me so much, we're going to take a break from our relationship right now. But then I see that he's, like, going out with other girls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, baby girl, that's a soft breakup.
Yeah.
That's when you show yourself out of the relationship.
That's true. It's, like, hard to know because I feel like I would be such a dense person if I was being broken up with. I'd need someone to tell me, no, we're breaking up, goodbye. Because I feel like I wouldn't get the message. It was just like, oh, well, I've got a lot of things going on right now, and... I just feel like maybe we should take some time apart. I'd be like, okay.
Well, I think you're also just such a busy, independent person. You'd be like, oh, thank God. Like, you're great, but I've got so much work to do.
Oh, this is so funny. I'm going to have you cut this.
I'm not going to.
I was talking with my husband, and I was like, yeah, it's so funny. I just, this sounds so horrible. I was like, I just feel like I would move on really well if we ever divorced. Because I have so much stuff going on at all times that I basically, like, I don't think about things when they're not in front of me just because I have so much stuff going on. So, like, I would just, like, divorce, and I'd just be like, okay, like, I just, like, you know, like, I don't know. I text my husband maybe once a week, and it's texts like, you know, can you go pick up milk? Like, I just don't.
Well, you guys live together.
Yeah, but even before that, he had mentioned something about, like, oh, God, you might have to cut this, too. He had mentioned, like,
actually, I'm going to cut
someone,
this.
Someone he knows. Well, if you're really going to cut this, and I'll tell you, because one of our friends was like, okay, if you're really going to cut this, you have to cut this. And I was like, cannot relate. I wouldn't. Like, if Pace and I broke up, I would just never text him again. I don't have space in my brain for that.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of trouble moving on once I'm out of a relationship. Not in the way of moving into the next relationship, because it's like, if it happens, it happens. But more in, like, once the relationship is over, it's like, whatever happened during it, it's like, we're good.
Like,
over now, so I don't really care.
I can barely keep in touch with the people I actually love and want to be in relationships with. Okay, I have a question for you, though. You can uncut, yeah. Once you cut over that, but this is actually, you don't have to cut. So, Paisa is telling me about someone who I won't name, and that someone was like talking about their relationship and how they were only texting with their significant other like every 2 days. And it's, like, a fairly new relationship. I have no idea whether that's normal or not. Do you think it's normal?
How long have they been dating?
I don't know. Let's say, like, 6 to 8 weeks. Maybe 2 months.
6 to 8 weeks? 2 months? And they're texting every other day?
Like, every 2 days, yeah. I guess every third day.
How often
day.
Do they see each other in person?
Like maybe once a week. Let's say once a week.
And how long are the dates?
I don't know, a couple hours. Maybe they'll spend the night.
That sounds pretty solid.
See, I was like,
they've only been dating for 2 months. They text every 2 days, and they sometimes like spend the night and have a weekly date. That's like pretty. That's steady.
That's what I thought, but they were thinking of it as like, oh, is this too little? Should we be more connected?
After 2 months. You don't know them. They're a stranger.
No, they're
maybe
not.
Maybe be plotting to kill you.
Oh my God, stop.
After 2 months, that's barely a long con.
Well, they spent a lot of time together in the first few weeks.
Like how much time?
Like every day for like a week.
For 1 week?
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna stick with my original answer. I think that's just indicative of the fact that they have a strong connection.
That's fair.
I mean, if it peters out more, maybe, like, check in on it. But I don't know. 2 months is not that long.
Okay. That's good to know. I may
How
have
old
you cut
are they?
This. What?
You didn't say names.
How old are they?
I'm not cutting anything. It's so much work.
Stop. Mid-20s. Very busy.
Mid-20s? Oh, then, yeah, Jesus, come on, dude.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting, because I had no idea. I was like, every 2 days, I don't know, I text my husband once a week, like.
Well, you guys live together.
Yeah, but I don't talk to him, either.
Oh, my God. I'm going to cut every mean thing you say about Pace, but nothing else.
No, I'm not mean. I'm not being mean when I say we don't talk. It's just like. It's like, you know when you've been around someone, like when, I don't know, when you're with your family, right? Like when I'm sitting with you in the living room, it's not like I'm sitting with someone else. It's like I'm sitting with an extension of myself. So it's like sometimes I don't even need to talk because it's just like, oh yeah, it's just me and myself sitting here.
Well, also you, me, and Anya have like, what do they call it? Like twin telepathy?
Yeah, no, but I mean, it's like that with
tripped empathy.
It's like that with any relationship, because like I've been with my husband for almost a decade now, and at this point, it's like we don't need to talk because it's like we both know when we're sitting on the couch, like yeah, put on a Netflix show, or like
yeah,
if I, you know, I don't know, like it's just like there's not really any need to talk.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, sometimes I'm tired.
Oh my god, I'm constantly tired.
I talk all day long. Sometimes I don't want to talk.
Yeah.
But also, I feel, okay, think of all the conversations you, me, and Anya have without talking.
Yeah.
It, just like with our eyes and eyebrows.
We do utilize our eyes and eyebrows a lot. Maybe too much. We're going to get wrinkles.
Dude, Anya and I had like a full 5-minute conversation over dinner one time without talking.
My God.
It's true telepathy.
I took like a sped up recording of myself because I was like, I'm going to make a TikTok and it's going to be what a grad student does in a day. And then I just realized my life is so fucking boring. No one's ever going to want to watch it. But so I took like a time lapse of myself grading. And it's literally just me with my eyebrows going, like, up and down, up and down, up and down. Like, so many frowns. And then, like, every once in a while, my eyes would just go really wide, or I'd, like, lean in. And it's like, oh, my God. I didn't know that other people could see the way that I was feeling when I'm grading. But it's, like, very clear. But I love my students, and I love grading.
Also, your students are on some shit sometimes. I'm not going to say anything, because I'll have to cut it out of the podcast and... It is really hard. But your students are on some shit sometimes, dude.
Honestly, though, like, I have seen my advisor's face when she's looking at my work, and it's the exact same thing. Oh, my goodness. Okay, wait. Do we actually watch this?
We actually have to watch this episode, because I have to work at 3 tomorrow.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, you're going to cut out, like... 20 straight minutes. We just... Still, it was a lot of bullshitting this episode.
It's a bonus episode. That's okay. True. If y'all want to watch along with us, we're going to count in.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, play.
What if my internet takes longer than yours?
Well, did it just open?
Did yours just start?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my god, I hate that kitchen so much.
This is an iconic apartment, I'll have you know. Mark is the guy who's been making Ross jealous. He works with Rachel.
Okay. This is early 2000s, right?
This is actually, I think, still in the 90s.
I really,
Yeah, this would be in 90.
Don't like the aesthetic.
Have you ever heard this song?
No.
That's funny.
Okay,
Siri's
so a lot
face
of
right now is like the most confused I've ever seen her in my life. Like, she was fully just like looking at it as if it was a differential equation, trying to parse out this theme song.
I'm just, like, don't really know what I'm looking at. And also, I just realized that, like, the outside of one of the buildings kind of looked like the outside of one of the more recent sitcoms. Like, Hi, My Mother. It looked like, anyway, looked like something I've seen before. So she acknowledges that they broke up.
Yeah.
Oh god, that's back when people had voicemails.
Right.
Not cell phones. she look so familiar?
Oh, she's been in stuff.
She seems like such a sweet person.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. This character is, like, such a doll, and she did not mean to get messed up in, like, any of this. And she's just, like, really hoping that this guy can work things out with his girlfriend.
Okay, so the other character is a neat freak.
Monica, yes. Monica is a neat freak. Phoebe's quirky. You know what's funny about this set is that during the reunion, Jennifer Aniston was like freaking out, saying how like everything was exactly the same and how they've just been like keeping everything in storage and it was all perfect, like preserved and stuff. And I was like, she doesn't know how good the set designers are because this set has been reused for Fuller House since Friends. It hasn't been in storage, just perfectly preserved as the Friends set.
Oh my God. I don't know how it could be, right? Because, like, yeah. They know how to save money.
It's Warner
money.
Brothers.
Yeah, exactly.
They're on a studio lot.
This is so real, though. Like, I do understand his dilemma, which is like, oh, I did this, and even though it was actually reasonable, like, it could change her mind about things.
Yeah, but I hate that he's going to these two idiots for advice. They're telling him to lie to her and just not say that anything happened.
Maybe that would have worked if he hadn't told them. Once news gets out to anyone, like...
That's my thing. I was like, I feel like this all could have been fine if he had just pretended that he and Chloe had never, ever gotten together to anyone.
Like, swear her to secrecy.
And eventually just believed the lie himself.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
There are some things that could just be private. But like,
deathbed secrets.
Yeah.
It's fine. Don't tell anyone about it, especially not your partner.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to know everything about you.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, like... We know, and, like, therapists advise, right, that, like, you just don't talk about past partners when you're with your current partner because it's just not relevant. And it just hurts people's feelings. You can't help imagining things, and it's, like, you can't unhear something. So just, like, don't bring it up.
Exactly. And it ruins your partner's perception of you. Like, it changes the way that they see you because all of a sudden it's, like, this added insecurity. And everyone's already insecure all the time, let's be real.
Yes.
It's nice to pretend that you're the perfect person in your partner's eyes and just, like, live with that delusion.
Yeah. Is this waxing subplot, like, connected to anything else?
Actually, no, but it's one of my favorite subplots.
Random.
Because I think waxing is so stupid. And also, both of their legs are already, like, perfectly hairless, yeah, so it makes the whole thing even more dumb. God, I love Chloe. A little bit of a klepto, wearing a cute sweater. She's amazing.
Oh, I can't do, and I think this is something that, like, people have stopped doing only recently, but the, like, over-exaggerated acting. Like, I don't want to watch people act. I want to watch TV shows of people with just more interesting lives than I have.
Oh yeah, this show is so cheesy.
Yes, I suppose I am a dog. But Isaac, see, I haven't had a girlfriend. Oh, right, that Rachel's here from the coffee place. Yeah, that's the one. Listen, I don't want to hurt her.
Oh, hey, man, I know. It doesn't matter how much we love them. Monogamy is too cruel a rule. Yeah, listen. Can you keep this information?
Said Anne Douglas.
Oh, no problem, dude. Yeah, we gotta look out for each other. We're the same, you and me.
So he's just going around swearing everyone to secrecy?
Actually, yeah. And then here, he's disagreeing with this sleazy guy that they're the same. Even though... Yeah.
Can I just say, I like the sleazy guy's hair a lot.
Oh, the sleazy guy looks...
He looks great.
He's got this, like, disco shirt.
Yeah, like the shirt, the silk shirt.
Love it. It looks good.
I'm not sure what's happening here.
So, the sleazy guy told his roommate, Jasmine.
Oh.
So he's asking now Jasmine not to tell anyone.
Oh my god.
You know what? There's a lot of people in New York.
Okay, to be honest though, word does spread this fast.
I just, like, don't... I would say don't do something in public if you don't want people to find out. And I feel like once you include someone else in something, it's, like, at least a little bit public. But also, like, Chloe's a bit of a blabbermouth, though, eh?
Yeah, well.
Not to judge, I'm a gossip girl, but...
I know they're going to prove the guy's wrong, but this just reminds me. I saw this pain scale recently where they actually tried to rate all different kinds of pain based on, like, the way that your nervous system responds. So it's, like, very accurate. And I think it went, like, different, you know, different things, like, right, like, stubbing your toe, and then, you know, getting punched in the face, like, getting stung by a bee, and then it had, like, getting mauled by a bear. And then on one of the tops was unmedicated childbirth. And then there was, like, only one or two things above unmedicated childbirth, and one of them was being burned alive.
Yeah, I can definitely imagine being burned alive to be a pretty painful experience.
I think that was actually the most painful. That's, like, the most painful thing anyone can experience.
Yeah. Oh, wait, there. This is important. Oops.
Oof. No, you can't unhear things.
This is why you shouldn't try and talk to people when they're mad.
Yeah.
Yes. Now they're giving good advice from behind the door. Where was this advice earlier?
Seriously.
Yeah, he said different. Okay, I just also have to say real quick, if your partner is jealous for any reason, even if it's of nothing and they're just feeling insecure, just be nice and be like, just lay it on for 1 second,
yeah.
Even. Just be like, you're a goddess. Like, I'm not even worthy of you. Like, you bless this earth. Just for even a second, just be like.
Yeah. I mean, you should always make your partner feel really, really special, and especially
yeah.
In a case like this.
She's finding out that Chloe was in the apartment when she came over. I don't like the throwing things, though. I feel like that's too much.
I know. It's so interesting because when she sent him the voicemail, she was like, oh yeah, this breakup was like, I'm sorry I put you through it, but now she's saying no, it wasn't a breakup. That's interesting.
I think she's focusing on the break because she can't put, either she can't put what she actually feels into words, or she feels like it's not enough somehow, which is totally, like, no matter what her feelings are, how he feels about them, they're valid.
Yeah.
It's enough to feel whatever you feel. So I think she feels like it's not enough somehow to say, like, it hurts me, even if we were broken up, that you moved on that fast.
Yeah.
And that shows me that you didn't really care about us being together in the first place.
Yeah.
But she doesn't want to say that.
But also, I think it's totally fair. Like, sometimes your feelings can be hurt, even when someone did nothing objectively wrong. It can still hurt you.
Exactly. And I think that's where, like, you can tell how long the relationship is going to last based on how the partner reacts to that.
Yeah.
Me calling out to my shift. Yeah, it's easy for you to say.
Also, this is like the unhealthy part of me, but I feel like this is like something that like other people feel like, but she didn't even get to have sex with Mark.
That's true. Like, it didn't even happen. They're talking about a hypothetical now. And he's upset.
Yeah.
But that's how you feel. That might not be how she feels about relationships. Like, this could be totally dead to her now because you did this, dude.
Yeah, and
that's
and
her perception
just like the
of
hypotheticals.
It.
It's like, okay, but it's easy to imagine yourself being a really good person. Like,
yeah. He's like, of course I would be okay with this thing that you didn't do.
Yeah, exactly.
That I did do. And he's forcing her to talk about this. It's been hours. She said that she didn't want to talk.
Yeah, it's never, like, we had talked about this before, but don't let yourself get gridlocked. This is gridlock when you're just talking about something for hours. Because what's the resolution here? Like, it's going to take time for her feelings, for her to feel better. You're not going to get a resolution immediately. Yeah. Never order food again. Oh no, I want pizza.
I want pizza so bad. It looks good too.
The crust looks a little underbaked though.
Yeah, they didn't get a New York style pizza, which is funny because they're pretending they're in New York. I hate that I'm Joey, though. In every group chat I've ever been a part of, I feel like people be talking about something really serious, but I just won't see it, and so I'll come in hours later with just be like, did you guys see Squid Game? Crazy, right?
We all need that levity sometimes.
Oh, she's stonewalling.
She is. But, I mean, it's fair. This is definitely something that's a gridlock.
How insane must I have been to do something like this? I don't cheat.
He's using a soft startup, though.
I'm not Joey.
Okay. noticed that neither one of them are wondering where I am.
Also, I haven't heard any criticism or contempt or...
You know what? I'm not the one that wanted that break, okay? You're the one that failed on that.
Okay, there's the criticism.
There we go.
Whoopsies.
That's what?
That is neither here nor there.
Okay, well, here we are. Now we're in a tough spot again, Rach. What do you want to do? How do you want to handle it? How do you want to fight for this?
Whoa, I don't like the pointing. He's very aggressive.
Yeah.
He's like crowding her and getting all up into her space, and I'm like, dude, get just move away. Sit down, put your hands by your sides.
Oh, this is, yeah, this is gross.
You can't just kiss me.
Don't kiss people while you're fighting with them. It's so manipulative.
Yeah.
It's so manipulative.
Also, like, who thinks you're gonna solve something at 3 a.m.? Like,
yeah.
The touching. Like, no.
What the hell did I know?
Look, there's got to be.
God, there's so much touching.
There's so much touching.
Really, it's uncomfortable.
It's really weird, and she's just so clearly like...
She is not giving consent.
And she's asking
signals.
Him to leave. She's not touching him back.
No. You're a totally different person to me now.
That
I
is so
that would never,
real, yeah.
Ever hurt me.
Yeah, like, ever. Once you see someone a certain way, you can't go back. But also, like, this is all stuff that could be healed with time. Like, eventually she could be like, nah, okay, you know, fine. But, like, it's not, it doesn't happen all at once.
He shouldn't have made her talk about it right now. He should have said, I'm so sorry, I totally understand, and left when she said she didn't want to talk.
Yeah.
And then he should have come back in a few days or let her reach out to him and then just be totally apologetic and sweet.
I think the fear is,
and it
would, like,
have been fine.
I'm losing out on my only chance. But that is actually the opposite of what is actually happening, which is you're ruining your only chance. You're ruining this chance, which then ruins your only chance.
I do have to say, though, okay.
She killed him.
When it comes to, like, your partner saying, okay, I'm so overwhelmed with this fight that we're having, I just need you to give me space. What I appreciate from a partner and what I try and do for my partner is just be like, yep, space, but also just like a little feeler here and there, especially if it's been a while, like even a text or like a little meme or something, just to say, I'm still here, I'm still checking in, and I'm still thinking about you. You know, you're still here in my brain.
That's, I think, what the difference is between stonewalling and avoidance. And that's what we've kind of found, because we think of, like, when you think of, like, the Gottman's research, like, one of the things is, like, don't stonewall. But if you're feeling flooded and overwhelmed, take a break and come back to it later. And so the question is, like, what's the difference between, like, avoidance or stonewalling, withdrawal, and taking a break? And so in one of the research studies that came out of my lab recently, they looked at, like, how people try to reconcile after conflict. And a lot of people wrote that they took time away and space away from their partner. And that was, like, something that they tried that they thought would be helpful. But it ended up being associated with negative outcomes. And that makes me think that the difference between withdrawal and stonewalling and avoidance and taking a break is the agreement that you'll touch base later, that at some time like you'll come back together, versus just like this kind of undefined amorphous
go
avoidance
sleep with someone that night,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
not, you know, don't even, you know, I feel like, yeah. But also, honestly, and this may be pointing out to certain internal shortcomings in myself, but I feel like if I was Rachel, in the ideal world, I would have wanted Ross to come to me and been like, hey, I just want to start this off with, like, total honesty, and I'm feeling a lot of guilt and regret for what has happened here. So I just wanted to let you know that this happened, and it's been, like, actually eating me alive.
Yeah.
Now I'm just going to take a step back and let you react however you're going to react, and then we can, you know, figure this out together. Because then you, because when you hurt someone, you don't know how badly you've hurt them.
Yeah.
Only that they're hurt. And so you need to let them react. And then based off of that reaction, you can gauge how badly you've hurt them. Because not every action is going to hurt each person the same amount.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I just think Ross is a really defensive, insecure guy.
Yeah, this is very poor form. not a good show.
I don't know if you know about this about him, but he, at the beginning of the very start of the series, he gets left by his wife, who's been having an affair with her friend Susan. Oof. His pregnant wife, who he co-parents with.
God.
Who eventually marries Susan, and he actually, her parents refuse to come to the wedding because they're lesbians. And so he walks her down the aisle.
See, it's interesting, though, because I feel like that kind of thing is almost easier to bounce back from.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have something else to blame. It's not me. It's just that she's a lesbian.
Exactly. Oh, dude. Oh, my God. If, okay, 10 out of 10 times, if I'm being broken up with, and my partner either has to say, I am not physically attracted to your anatomy versus I don't like you as a person.
Yeah.
I think you suck. You suck. And I don't like you. And it's like, especially if you've been with them for a while, it's like, dude, you know me so well. Shit. That's why, you're just going to tell me that I suck?
That's why things like, that's why people come up with all these things. Like, she had said, like, oh, I'm so busy with work, right, in friends. Like, I'm so busy with work, and that's why we have to break up. Like, it's so much easier than saying, you take so much time and energy, and I just don't want to put that into you right now. Right? Like, it's nicer to the other person. It's actually partially the truth. Just blame it on something else. And, like, your partner being not attracted to your gender is, like, such an easy way to say, like, this is not going to work.
And I think it's also why this episode hurts so much more, because it's like, it's so obvious that Rachel loves him so much and really wants to make this work, but she cannot see past this. This is her deal breaker.
Yeah.
And it's not like she's using it as an excuse, like, oh, we could have been together, but he slept with Chloe, so now we can't. It's, I really, really wanted this, and I never saw this coming. And this, I don't know you anymore, because I never thought of you as this person.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
This is the rough one.
So do you think, who's side, let's go into this next episode where we're actually going to be talking about the entire timeline of this relationship, and I want to get your gauge. Who do you think is in the wrong here?
Oh, obviously him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do they ever get back together?
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
How long does it take?
Do you want to know?
No. Save it for the episode.
Because we go through it.
Yeah, save it.
Because we go through it.
That's interesting. I mean, I would have guessed that they got back together, honestly.
Yeah. But also, what's interesting to me is, maybe I'll save that. Okay. Yeah. No, it's just a weird situation. But within, like, the people who talk about friends community, I feel like this has been, like, for so long boiled down to whether or not they were on a break. But as Rachel says in the fight, that is entirely beside the point.
What do you mean?
It doesn't matter whether or not they were on a break. It doesn't hurt Rachel any less that he slept with Chloe that night.
That's true. But I do feel like...
if she had said, get out of my apartment now, I don't want to see you anymore, and he left and slept with Chloe without her saying the specific words, let's take a break, it would have hurt just as much as in this situation where she said, let's take a break, and he went out and slept with Chloe that night.
I think it would have hurt just as much, but it would be less of a gray area, because then, like, there wouldn't be any uncertainty. It'd be like, no, he did a bad thing, and I have the right to be hurt. But it's hard when you have people tell you, well, you don't have the right to be hurt.
That's true. And I think that sucks because she just totally does. Like, this is such obvious, like, emotional infidelity.
But with something like this, he can say, oh, well, blankety blank, we're on a break. But if they hadn't been, then he wouldn't have been able to say that.
Exactly. So he just sticks onto that, not wanting to admit that he did something bad.
Right.
And that is such a sticking point in why it's so difficult for them to be together. Yeah. And why they can't get back together this time. Because he just can't admit that what he did was shitty. And he needs to do some, like, reconciling of that.
Yep.
I don't know, dude. Like, get her a necklace. Come on.
Yeah.
It's not that hard to, like, make up for shit you do. Especially, like, you know what I noticed? He didn't say, like, I'm so sorry, how can I make this up to you?
Yeah, exactly.
Or, like, what can I do to make you feel better? It was just like, no, we need to talk about this. And then as soon as she tries to talk about it, he's like, oh, I don't want to talk about that part. And it's like, well, you didn't ask a question or begin this in any way where she had an option or any power. So, all right.
Yeah. That's so true. Hmm. Well, I feel very prepared for our actual episode now that I've seen this.
I'm so excited. Yay! I'm excited to hear the literature on breaks. That's going to be interesting.
Me too. I know. If I can't find anything within this year, I might go a little bit farther back just because it's kind of specific. But, I mean, that kind of stuff is timeless. So, like, people are taking breaks.
This took place in the 90s.
Although social media may make a difference in terms of taking a break.
Yeah. Oh, and dating apps.
Yes. And even just texting. Like, being able to text people.
Snapchat.
Yeah.
Dude, I've said it before, literally on this podcast, but I will say it again. If you are over the age of 25 and your partner has Snapchat on their phone, red flag. Why do they have it?
Oh my god.
Drugs.
Oh my god.
Or cheating. Two options. It's like if they have a flip phone, they're either cheating or dealing drugs. There are two options.
Oh my god.
Snapchat is the flip phone of apps.
Or they're like boycotting technology.
With Snapchat?
No, with a flip phone. Like, if they have a flip phone and they don't have a computer, that's just someone who wants to live in a different century.
That's Nick Miller from New Girl.
Yes.
And no one else on the planet in the year 2021.
Yep, that's true. If I worked at a bar, though, I'm trying to think, like, I guess I wouldn't need a laptop. Like, all your work is on the computer at work. Your timesheet is there.
What are you going to do from home? You don't send emails.
Some people, like, play games.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, you wouldn't technically need a computer. Like, I feel I need a computer because, like, I don't know. I send work emails and stuff, and I do all my work on my computer, but on my laptop.
Yeah. You know, I feel like if I had a way to listen to music, I'd do pretty okay with a flip phone. I never answer my texts anyway.
Oh, well, that's why you'd have your Walkman. For your music.
Oh, I would totally rock a Walkman.
Clips to your belt.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I've got two albums on there.
the Scott Pilgrim original soundtrack and Bat Out of Hell.
Oh my God.
That's it. That's all that's on my Walkman. Done. Is there other music? No.
I love it.
All right. I literally need to go to bed.
Yes. Okay. Bye-bye,
listeners.
Our
bonus episode was over an hour.
It was a really long bonus. And now you owe everyone who's listening, you owe me $1.50. Let's just tack on that. Okay. Thank you for listening. Bye.